and we praise Him by lifting up our hands. It might be two hands. It might be one hand. Now, some of us lift hands and it's kind of like this. But we're to lift up our hands. But Paul says to young Timothy, I wish men everywhere would lift up holy hands. Holy hands. And then the second thing he says, that we lift up holy hands, and he said we lift up those holy hands without wrath. There's something that needs to take place in here. That wrath, that anger. And so many times we harbor those things and we disguise it by saying, well, I'm a real man. You ain't right with God. You're just not right with the Lord. If we were to look across the page there and we look at what a preacher is and what a deacon is. And, you know, when I was a young Christian, I'm a John Wayne fan, okay? And I tell the story that John Wayne says when he and his first wife, they began to have problems, and he came home and he was a little intoxicated. I'm not for intoxication at all. He's wrong. And he's in hell if he didn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And she had locked him out of the house, and he kicked the door down. He called his publicist the next morning, and he said, you got to help me. And the publicist said, why? And he said, because I came home last night. She had locked the door. I kicked the door down. And the publicist said, well, what do you think the public thinks John Wayne would do if she locked him out? And so I think in the quiet man, whenever she goes in, locks the door, and he kicks that, I think he was probably just doing what he did years before. Prior to. So I like a man's man. I like a tough guy. But you, and preachers, when I was a young guy, they get up and say, you don't like that? You just come on outside, we'll take care of it. And I'm saying, yeah, that's right, I like guys like that. And I read across the page that he's not supposed to be a brawler. How do I do this? Paul says, I don't want men, I want holy men, but I don't want men that are wrathful. Moses, the meekest man of all the earth, killed a man with his bare hands. He had power, but he had power in control. And he says that, listen, this man ought to be without doubting. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, James says. We're to know what we believe, guys, and we're to stand on what is truth. I was thinking this past week there was a situation that I was kind of caught in, and I said, you know, I probably ought to say something. And I said, you know, if I say something, I'm about to create a problem. Because I believe that that person's not going to accept what I say. It's going to anger them. And I thought about this. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, he said, have I become your enemies because I told you the truth? And I said, so many people today don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. And if you go contrary to what they think, they get mad real quick. And Paul says, listen, I want you to be a man of faith. I want you to know what you believe, and I want you to stand in this. So let me talk to you today on this Father's Day and just tell you that in this world in which we live, we have a world that's filled with the wrong kind of men. I'm going to be mean this morning. Put your big boy pants on, okay? We have a world that's filled with men that are sissies. That are sissies. Now, I make jokes of that sometimes. Like I say, I want the real men to come up here. If you all are a sissy, I want you to... And I make jokes like that. If you look up the word sissy, it has to do with effeminate. It has to do with a coward. And can I just tell you that I think that men ought to be men. I think we're living in a... we are certainly living in a day and in a city to where everybody wants to be something different. The Bible says, does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Now, when I got saved, I had long hair. And so, there were folks who didn't think I got saved because I still had long hair. And I cut my hair. I was a hippie whenever I was growing up. Kind of like a hippie. I wasn't really a hippie. I was just a flower guy. And so, Brother Harold, do you have long hair? Yeah. You can't tell it today, but today it's not about long hair. It's about being effeminate. I think because a guy's hair's over his ears and say, well, and this is what the Bible says. I understand what the Bible says. But whenever we want to dress in such a manner and a way, men and women, where it is questionable what you are wrong. That's not, well, the Bible says that women ought to get away from all that stuff. I think that there's been some issues that have been preached in independent Baptist churches that are not biblical. But I will tell you that God is against those who don't want to be distinguished in their appearance as a male or a female. And God is strictly opposed to those who would leave the nature of a man and go after a man, and a woman that would leave her nature and go after a woman. And the Bible's against that. Don't say amen too fast. He says that's an abomination. He says that your pride is an abomination as well. Men are sissies. I think we're filled with a world where men are self-centered. We got a nice word for them. Deadbeat dads. God help us from a guy that is so self-centered, all he thinks about is himself. He thinks about himself in a relationship with his wife. He thinks about himself in his relationship with his family. He thinks about himself in a relationship of work. He thinks about himself in a relationship of authority that is around. It's all about me! And our lives are not to be built around us. It is to be built around Jesus Christ. And we have men that are sinful. Evil men. Paul says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. I believe we're living in these perilous times. And he says that in this perilous time, that there's going to be evil men and seducers that are going to wax worse and worse. Young guys, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what I don't know any of your hip hoppers. I don't know any of your rappers. I don't know those guys. But some of those guys, you all need to mark them off your list and say, I'll never buy another record. I'll never download on an MP3. I'll never listen to another. And I'm not going to be a part of that. Why? Because they're men filled with sinful nature. Girls, I'm telling you, not all men are jerks. Okay? Thank God. Not all men are jerks. But you say, I'm going to change him. Put him on the prayer list and go find somebody else. Okay?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm just saying our world is filled with perversion. And we must be careful. We must be conscious. Today, all of these things, cross-dressing, it goes on. No clear distinction between the difference of the gender. God gave us men, and God helped save men that go contrary to the biblical teaching. and they want to take on a woman's features. They want to look like a woman. They want to have the woman's mannerism. They want to act like a woman. They want to have woman's roles. They want to depart from the women. It's contrary to the Scriptures. Men ought to look like men. Women ought to look like women. The day of chivalry is gone. I want to say thank you so much whenever I go to a restaurant and a guy opens a door and holds the door for me. I take our children here at the school. I always want to go out with our honor roll students and our students that have got good conduct for the semester and AB honor roll. And we take them out and buy them lunch. And so it's kind of a dangerous thing. You're going out in public with these 30 or 40, 50, 60 kids? Yeah. And I have people who come to me all the time. There's probably not a time. And Ms. Murnane will tell you that it happens at Science Center, wherever we take. And they talk about how polite that our children are. Now, I hope it's because they know I will string them up by the thumbs if they're not. But guys, it's something about saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, thank you, opening a door for a lady, holding a chair for someone, allowing the elderly, that's me, to pass by instead of pushing me out of the way. I'm just saying that chivalry is dead almost. I told Marcus the other day, we can't change this generation, but I pray that we can make a mark in this generation. And we may not change a generation, but God help us to touch lives of some. And let the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ work in the hearts and lives of some of these young folks and make a difference in their lives. Very few men stand up for anything today. I tell you, I'm not even going to go there. Not even going to get there. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. The word father is not only the identity of a biological kinship, but it's also the title of honor that is given to many. We talk about George Washington, right? He's the father of our nation. So it's a word of honor that we give. So when I use the word fathers this morning, I'm speaking to all men. And I'm asking that all men, whether you're a daddy or not, I'm asking that all men that we take and we stand up and that we be what God would have us to be. That Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quiet ye like men, be strong. That word quiet, he kind of uses it again in Ephesians chapter 6. He says we're to put on the old armor of God that we might be able to stand. But he uses that word stand four times in just three simple verses. That men ought to take a stand. They ought to stand. And where is stand? And then stand that you might be able to withstand. He said, I want you to take a place in your life and be what God would have you to be. And don't let the winds of doctrine blow you around. Don't let the winds of philosophy blow you around. Take a stand and live for Jesus Christ. God would have us to do this. Men who are strong, but they're not afraid to be compassionate. Men that are strong, but yet they know how to be gentle. Men that are strong, but yet they understand meekness. Men that are strong and know how to give rather than to demand. God give us men. God give us some men today that will be fathers of today, that will touch the hearts and lives of people, that will show them what a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a strong man, a spiritual man. God give us men. God give us men with holy hands. Men who live their lives in purity and godliness. Men who live with clean hearts, clean lives, clean lips. Men who, if followed, will lead others in the right paths, in the paths that the Lord would have us to walk in. Hebrews says, let us draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having your hearts purified having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Men that are filled with the Spirit of God and not afraid to worship God in spirit and in truth. Men that'll stand up. Men that'll stand up when nobody else will stand with them, but yet they'll still stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to just tell you, that is hard to stand contrary to your peers. And some of you are in college. Some of you are getting ready to go away to college. Some of you are in schools where children are not being what they ought to be. God help us. Give us some men and some women that'll stand up and say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ whether you do or not. Yea, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's not the easy way. And that's not the way that the majority of Christendom goes either. But I'll just tell you, it is the way that I believe that God would have us to go. Now, when I'm talking about men that will stand, men that are spiritual men, men that are not afraid to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about something that's worked up in the flesh. Okay? I'm not talking about something, this little slap of hand. You all like that, didn't you? Woo! Did you see the pastor's hip? He got a high five during his sermon. Now, can I tell you that there's a lot of times that people do what they do only to be seen? I'm saying that God give us men that will worship God. That I'm talking about true worship and not something that they just want to be seen. God help us that we take a stand and we be that which God would have us to be, standing, doing that which God would have us to do, and not because we want to be seen, and God forbid that we would allow it to be worldly. Now, a spring is not going to yield, James says, bitter water and sweet water. It's going to be one or the other. Jesus said that man cannot serve two masters. Because you'll either love one or you'll despise the other. He says you can't serve God and mammon. So what are we going to do? God give us men that will worship Him in true worship. God give us men that will take a stand and be what they know that they ought to be, not just to be seen so that other people will watch them. God give us men that will take a stand and be a spiritual man, being what God would have them to be, and not be encompassed about, not drawing worldliness into their being. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Can I just tell you that there in 1 John chapter 2 and we quote those verses often, verse 15, 14, 15, and how that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. You're to go back and read a few verses prior to that, because John is commending the young men and what the young men have done. And the young men, they've taken a stand. They've overcome the evil one. But we must continually be on guard and not allow these things. And God give us, He says, not only that, He says, but He says a steadfast man. A man that is without doubting. Somebody that stands on what they know that they ought to stand. Turn over in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I'm talking about faithful men. I love the song that the men sang. Ron Hamilton did a great job when he pinned that one down. I like it. And God give us faithful men, men that are faithful to the cause of God, men that are faithful to their nation, men that are faithful to their family, men that are faithful to their churches, men that you can depend upon. Come hell or high water is what we say, but these men are people that you can depend upon. You can stand by them. These men are firm. These men will stand no matter what may take place. God give us men like that. In Genesis chapter 18, look at verse number 16. Genesis chapter 18, Look at verse number 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. Now these men are men. The angels of the Lord. A theophany, maybe, very possibly, one of these was the Lord Jesus Christ. But these men have come. God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Must I keep this thing from my friend Abraham? And so he goes down and he meets with Abraham, the angel of the Lord, and he talks with Abraham and tells Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So these men, they get up to leave the presence of Abraham. And the Bible says, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Notice something. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, that is found in Genesis chapter 12. It is a promise that God made to Abraham and his seed, unto Abraham's seed, which is of Isaac, the Jews today. But look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. Notice what he says. He says, I'm not going to hide this thing from Abraham. He's my friend. He's going to be a great nation one day. I know. You see that? God is speaking of Abraham, and he says, for I know him. Notice what he says about Abraham. He says that I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. There is nothing that is going to be hidden from God. God knows everything. And God said in this text, he said, I know Abraham. God give us dads like Abraham. Dads that know God and dads that God knows. Men that will follow after God. Now notice what he says of Abraham the father. An example of yesteryear. An example for us to follow today. God says, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him because I know Abraham. I know what he's like. He says, listen, I know that Abraham's going to command his family. That's what he says right there. I know that he will command his children. Dads, don't hesitate to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll not go there this morning, but he says that we're to teach our children every day. When they rise, when they sit, when they go to bed at night, we're to teach them. God help us. God help us. Men that will command the family. Secondly, he says of Abraham, not only would he command his family, he says, but he command his family and his household after him. I thought about how that household includes not only his wife, not only his children, but that household included his servants, those that were living there with him. Remember when the Philippian jailer came in and was going to fall upon his sword, and Paul said, do thyself no harm in Acts chapter 16. He said, for we're here. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we stopped there many times. But he says, thou shalt be saved and thy household. He said, those that are under your roof, those that are you have an influence in their life on a daily basis, they'll be saved as well. Why? Because they'll see you. They will hear you. The Word of God's not going to return void according to God's promises. And I'm going to tell you, any way that we can get the Word of God into people's lives, into their minds, into their hearts, the Word of God, we are saved, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Let's get the Bible into them as much as we possibly can. It grows us. Talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. But I'm just saying that, listen, we have an influence. We have people that we influence, and those that are right underneath our household, we have an influence in their lives. can I just tell you, I don't understand all that the Scripture has to say, okay? I don't understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 14, Paul says this. He says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were their children unclean, now are they holy." What does that verse say? Well, can I just tell you, I don't have time for you to explain it to me this afternoon. But I'd be more than happy to sit down and let you explain it to me. Because I'm not sure what that verse says. But I do know that a believer has an effect upon an unbeliever in his household. And so what do? We need to care for our family. Let's be what we ought to be. Let's share the Word of God. Let's teach the Word of God. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Well, they don't really like it. It's not about whether they like it or dislike it. It's about what we are supposed to be doing. So we take on that responsibility. Abraham commanded his children. He cared for his family, and Abraham counseled his family. See, he says there, he says that, "And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Now, I don't think, I do believe that Abraham probably commanded his children, his child, probably commanded his household. But as I think about Abraham offering Isaac as a burnt offering unto the Lord, Isaac is not a child. He's not, how old are you now? 17. Great day in the morning. Where did yesterday's go? Man, I'm going to tell you what, 17. I don't know. I still think of him a little 12-year-old. I don't think Isaac was 17 years of age. I don't think he was a... How old is Levi? I don't think he was a 6-year-old. When Abraham took Isaac to offer him as a burnt offering, I don't think he was a 6-year-old. Sometimes we kind of picture that as, you know, this little boy. I don't think he was a teenager. I think that Isaac was an adult. Just saying. I think he could have taken his dad. Don't try. My dad had some problems with his health. My brother went over to try to calm him down, and my dad was hitting my brother in the chest. And my mother said, "Hit him back." And he said, "I'd never raise my hand to my daddy." He said, "But he won't stop if you don't hit him." And he said, "He can't hurt me." And I said, "God bless." So Abraham's taking Isaac, and Isaac asks the question, "Where's the lamb?" Now, I think it probably could have deceived a 6-year-old. I think Isaac knew something was in the making. When Abraham raised the knife to slay Isaac, I personally believe Isaac was on an altar. I don't believe he snuck up behind him. How did he get on the altar? See, you might be able to wrestle a 6-year-old, tie him down. You might be able to overpower a teenager. But here you got an adult. I think there was a willingness there. Why? He trusted his dad. Because of what his dad had taught him. And I believe that there were times that Abraham sat down and shared with his son things that had happened in his life and told his household how God was good to him and gave God all the praise and all the glory. the family of Abraham was blessed because of Abraham. And I say that Abraham consecrated his family. I've talked about it before. God's good all the time. Bless you, Pastor, more than you know. I was telling Jacob earlier, my wife saw a sign yesterday that said divorce $99. And she said, look, we could get a divorce for $99. And I said, I'm not going to throw my money away on that. Because if we got a divorce, we'd still live together. We got no place to go. We got nobody to care for us. I'm like David. I looked to my right hand, my left, and no man cared for me. We're blessed. We are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. God's blessed me with people that love me. And I'm thankful for you. And I just speak facetiously and I tease and kid. And I love you and I thank God for you, okay? Can I just tell you that my wife is blessed? Now, I'm thankful for my wife. I believe God gave me Brenda K. Keller to be my wife. And I'm thankful. 45 years after saying I do, I still thank God for her. And I still think that she's the right choice for me. I love her. I'm thankful for her. So I'm not saying anything disparaging at all, but can I tell you that that woman is blessed because God blesses me? Because I share my blessings with her. And my children, Chris and Faith and Jeremy and Kelly, they're blessed because their daddy's blessed. I don't know when I'm going to die. I'm not making any plans. Teach us to number our days. I've got mine numbered to about 110. But one of these days, I'm going to die. Brenda and I are going to be gone. And we're going to take that $16.32 that we've got in savings, and we're going to divide it up among our children. Now, why is our children going to get $4.08 each because of the blessings of their mom and daddy? Because God has blessed them, parents, then the children are blessed under that canopy. His banner over us, that's that canopy that God places over us, is love. And my children are blessed because God has blessed me. And that's why I believe that Abraham consecrated his family, was because God had blessed him. And the Bible says that he knew the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to bless your seed. And your seed is not going to be just Isaac. It's going to be numbered like the sands of the sea and the stars in the heavens. And I'm going to bless them. Why? Because of Abraham. Guys, let me tell you something. All of us are different. Thank God all of us are different. And all of us have different abilities. All of us have different gifts. All of us have different things that we can do for God. But I'm just here to tell you that, guys, we need to say we're going to serve God. Not only for what God does in my heart and my life, but because of what it affects all around me. And we dedicate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said earlier that begins in the first step to that is that we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Know Christ, have life. Know Christ, you die and go to a devil's hell. He that hath the Son hath life. And John says that he that hath not the Son says not only do we not have life, but the wrath of God abideth upon us. And just as I'm talking about the blessings of a consecrated family because of a daddy, the wrath of God abides upon that man that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the wrath of God could affect those that are under His wings as well. God help us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I know that there's those who are going to say, hey, it's easy believism and you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do the other. I'll just tell you, on April the 8th of 1973, I was told if I called upon the name of the Lord that He'd save me. And at best that I could, I called upon Jesus Christ and I said, Lord, I'll trust You. To the best of my ability, I'll trust You. Those men came out to my house 10 days later, knocked on my door, and I've asked them, they're still my friends today, when you left, did you say He got it? Boy, I tell you what, and they said, no. We walked away saying He didn't get it. He didn't get it. He didn't get it. I got it that night, still got it today. Why? Because I believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Meant it with all my heart, with all my being. I believed upon the Lord. The Bible says if you'll believe upon Him, He'll give you eternal life. It's a gift of God. You must receive it. The second thing is, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Bow with me for a word of prayer.